Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shamati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastrityadi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakampa Charupyas Jagripas Sindhu Vya Evacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Shamananda Krishna Prabhu. Very much. Actually, what we will do, we will, of course, address the subject of our ceremony here, the initiation first and second initiations. We'll certainly do that, but we'll also, in a broader sense, look at the implications, you could say, for implications of the development of Krishna consciousness within individuals and within society, because after all, this is what initiation ultimately signifies, that members of society are progressing and developing their lives, improving their lives, and in that way society becomes improved. So I will read a couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam in that regard. First of all, you can just repeat after me, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we'll read a couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. And we'll begin with text 22. Asankalpaj jayet karma, krodham karma vivarjanat, artanartek shaya lobham, bayam tatva vamarshanat. Translation. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. Isn't that nice? That's just amazing. This is Narada Muni speaking. Yes. So text 23. Anvikshikya shoka moho dambha mahadupashaya yogantarayan monena himsam kamad yanihaya by discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. And let's just carry on, isn't it? Phew, this is amazing. Text 24. Kripaya bhutajam dukam daivam jayat samadhina atmajam yoga viryena nidram sattva nishevaya. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation and trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence. And by practicing Hatha Yoga, Pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. Oh, what now? Okay, I think last one. Rajas tamas cha sattvena sattvam chopa shamena cha etat saravam guro bhaktya purusho hyanjasa jayet. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness. And then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. Oh, we could just go on because the next one's also amazing. Truly wonderful, but let's just leave it at that for the time being. Hare Krishna. Sri, Sri Nitai Maghavachandra ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. All of you ki. Aplok sub ki jai. Yes, why not? You're all wonderful. So, I was actually asked by, well, I should say, I was ordered by His Grace Rajabasi Prabhu, who's our president here. I'm just his servant, little servant. To talk about, what was it now exactly? Let me just, the ideal, oops, okay. Shishi Natani Vaisandai Ki Jai. The ideal Krishna conscious society. The ideal Krishna conscious society and all these different qualities, they're all important factors, elements in the lives of people who are members of the ideal Krishna conscious society. And initiation is part, an essential part. It's not really optional. I mean, it's sort of optional in one sense. In the sense, one devotee was asking Prabhupada once, do we have to do something? I can't remember exactly what, but something. Do we have to? Do we have to? And Prabhupada said, no, you don't have to. Prabhupada said, you don't even have to breathe if you don't want to. So in that sense, you don't have to be initiated. But, it is just so advantageous if you are. particularly if we want to create a perfect ideal Krishna conscious society. Initiation is just, it's really an essential part, vital part of the ways of lives of those who are serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. It's a fact. Actually, one devotee asked Prabhupada once in Mumbai, not asked, but he came and told Prabhupada, said, Srila Prabhupada, I like to serve in the kitchen, cooking. And you have said many times, all services are equal. So I would rather just serve in the kitchen all day and not chant my rounds, because all services are equal. The discussion is in the Prabhupada folio, actually. And Prabhupada, you know, in a very sort of reasonable and pleasant way, said, no, you know, chanting is the process for this Kali Yuga, so you must chant your rounds. And you can serve in the kitchen, that's very nice. But you must chant your rounds. But the devotee continued, saying that, but Prabhupada, you have said all services are equal, and this is what I want to do. And it went back and forth a few times, and Prabhupada was becoming increasingly frustrated, or, yeah, say, disappointed, something like that. And in the end, Prabhupada told him quite sternly, you can eat and sleep all day, but you must chant 16 rounds. So like this, you can stand on your head all day if you want, but you must chant 16 rounds, and you must become initiated, and in this way connected up with the disciplic succession, which means ultimately with Lord Krishna himself, in order to really develop Krishna consciousness in the best way, most, by far the most effective way. Otherwise you can sort of dilly-dally around the periphery of Krishna consciousness for your whole life and not really get very far at all. I remember going to England, well, when I joined in England, actually, 45 years plus ago, there was one boy called Bhakta John. He was there before me. And he used to come in every day. He was living outside, and he used to come in every day and wash the pots. And all services are nice. That's a fact. So he used to come in and wash the pots. I went back there about, what, from 30 years later, say 15 years ago, I went back there and into the kitchen, and you know what I saw? Bhakta John was washing the pots. And it's all sacred. It's all very sacred. We shouldn't minimize it like, you know, washing the pots, how stupid. It's just, you know, some too simple service. You should try and do something more. It's all glorious, actually, but still, it's good to do more, actually. You can hand over to the next person, they can wash the pots, and you can do something a little more to develop the Krishna consciousness movement. So Krishna consciousness is progressive. It's progressive. It's not just a matter of believing in something, carry on with life as usual, and you only find out if what you were believing in was right or not at the time of death, and if it was not right, it's too late. See you next lifetime. So, yeah, Krishna consciousness is progressive. we're actually meant to move forward step by step, which means there are different ways to move forward. Move forward like these verses are talking about in terms of developing oneself as a person, personal qualities like this, and move forward also in the sense of doing more for Krishna, doing more, doing better for Krishna, really doing something to help the movement of Krishna become established and help more people in this world. This is part of developing, actually. Develop yourself and help the whole world develop. So initiation then is such an important part of that. Srila Prabhupada said, let me just put it this way. I was told that Srila Prabhupada said, actually I was told by a very reliable source, that Srila Prabhupada said, really nice thing, you just listen to this and think about this. That Srila Prabhupada said, what is Krishna consciousness? What is it? Prabhupada answered his own question. Krishna consciousness means, or Krishna consciousness is, the development of a loving relationship with Krishna. That's what it is. It's the development of a loving relationship with Krishna, Prabhupada said, disguised as a process. It looks like a process. You must do this and not do that. And there's so many do's and don'ts. And for that matter, even Srila Prabhupada actually referred to it as a process on numerous occasions. But if you really want to look at the heart of it, what it really is, the essence of what it actually is, it is the development of a loving relationship with Krishna. At this point in time, generally, let's just say the people in general, the people in general, even though this idea of love is very prominent, and it's just, you know, through the ages, love is always a part of the culture and the way of life of the human beings. But the problem is, and this is really a problem, that people, even though this idea is there, it's sort of in the atmosphere. There are many popular songs and books and whatever, movies and things like that, which are examining the subject of love in different ways. But very serious problem is that people in general don't actually know what it is. When I was young, there were the Beatles. I don't know if you ever heard of them, from a different yuga almost. And they sung songs like about that. And there's one song, it was top of the pops like you wouldn't believe it, called She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how it goes, actually. And it's just so sort of blah, kind of blatant materialism. What they're singing is, you look good to her. Does she look good to you? If she does, she is willing, you can get together. This is what it means. Yeah. In other words, what they're calling love, it's just some generally physical attraction, some lust, something like that. But that's not what love is. It's really not what love is. I remember when I was, again, when I was young, because I was young, you might not believe it. It was such a long time ago. Gosh, I can hardly remember it. But I thought my parents loved me, and they certainly professed to love me. Yeah. But then I joined the Hare Krishna movement. And they sort of, you know, well, it wasn't easy for them, but they kind of, you know, they didn't freak out in front of me. But, you know, my father was a businessman. He wanted me to take over his business. I was the oldest son. But I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Oh, gosh. Poor fellow. And then their attitude towards me changed. It did. And, you know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I was not booted out or something, but it was not like it had been before. It was really not. And, but at that time, there I was trying to become a Hare Krishna. And then we come across in Krishna conscious literature, the essence, of course, is love. Well, this is what we just said, that Prabhupada said, what is Krishna consciousness? It's the development of a loving relationship with Krishna. And certainly Krishna looks good, but it's not just Krishna looks good, wow, I want to grab him or something. Or Krishna has money, wow, I want to grab him, which translates into, I want to grab his money. Yeah. No, this is something, really something else. And people in general don't understand what is love. And they think that something which is not love, which is actually really lust, and different forms in just in different ways, that sort of thing. They think it's love, but it's a case of mistaken identity. Yeah, mistaken identity. I don't know if you've ever been in such a situation. You know, you get someone like me, I know thousands of people all over the world, and they all expect me to know their names. And sometimes I meet someone, and you know me, I'm from somewhere. And I said, oh yeah, you're such and such. And he said, well, actually no, I'm someone else. Mistaken identity. And then you feel bad. Oh, it's so embarrassing, actually. So it's like that love, what is called love, it is a mistaken identity. It's actually more lust. And, you know, different things mixed in with it, actually. All sorts of different things mixed in with it. So our experience, my own experience when I started becoming involved, and I started to associate with the devotees who were disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and I saw what they were doing for Srila Prabhupada so selflessly, just for his pleasure, and asking for nothing in return. Then I started to appreciate what is love. Yeah. The selfless desire to please the beloved. So, yes, and then when I associated with my parents, because I used to go and see them every year in New Zealand, and then I saw how they were and how what they thought of me and, you know, all these things, and I understood, Oh, the devotees are just such different people. Such different people. So, initiation then is a very important, essential, as we said, essential part of the process of developing, so that one gradually, step by step, becomes a person who can love, a person who is capable of loving in the real sense of the term. So, you know, it's a step-by-step process. It's not that you just read some of the books and get some idea, yes, about pure love, and then, okay, got it, what's next? But it's a whole process, cleansing the heart. Until the heart has become cleansed sufficiently through engagement in devotional service, one is just not capable of loving. And one is, not, in a sense, not capable or not suitable for being loved. Because if real love is manifested, expressed towards such a person who's kind of all mixed up and messed up and got all these strange ideas, if pure love is expressed to them, they won't know how to deal with it. And you know, very likely or almost inevitable, they'll abuse it, actually. They'll abuse it. Yeah. So therefore, and without becoming capable of loving, then one isn't really a complete person. One's just a sort of a partial person, a work in progress. But seriously, it's really like that. A complete person is someone who's emotionally complete, psychologically complete, just complete in all aspects of personal existence. And who is that? That's only a pure devotee of the Lord. Anyway, I hope I'm not making anyone feel depressed sitting there. Oh gosh, who am I? Oh my gosh, I'm useless. Well, to be frank, we are a bit on the useless side, actually. But, you know, the thing is this, we did mention that we're not really capable of loving in the real sense and the complete sense of a term. I think if you think about it, you'll see that it's really true. And we're also not so capable of, say, reciprocating properly, appropriately, with someone who loves us in the full sense. But the good news is, there is good news. The good news is Krishna is so kind that even though we are lacking, you know, what to speak of before we became involved in Krishna consciousness, when I would say, if you don't mind me saying, and even if you do mind me saying, we were really quite useless. We were sort of fully qualified useless. Lost in the material world. Lost. Now we've improved a lot. I think every single one of you, so many of you I know personally, and you've improved a lot. But we still got quite a way to go. And the good news, like we said, is Krishna is so kind that, you know, he already put up with a lot from us, from when we just started in Krishna consciousness and we were really not in good shape. He tolerated that, he persevered with us, and he's continuing to persevere. Because let's face it, sometimes our minds go a little off track. Did it ever happen to you? Or am I the only one? We've got one here. Yeah. Your mind went off track a bit once? Anyway, I'm just joking, but it's true of all of us. Our minds go off track and we start considering something else. But Krishna tolerates it. The only thing Krishna doesn't tolerate, well, there's a few things Krishna doesn't tolerate. You know, there's a nice description Prabhupada gives in the Krishna book. Some of you received Krishna book the other evening. Nice description in regard to the rasa dance. In the story of the rasa dance, which is, it covers like five, I think five chapters there, from around 29 to 30, something like that. And during the course of the rasa dance, Lord Krishna left the gopis. Suddenly they looked around, he was not there. He had been with each one. Suddenly just zip, he vanished. And of course they became very disturbed. He had gone off with Srimati Radharani. And then they were moving along through the forest somewhere. And Radharani said to Krishna, I'm feeling tired. Can you carry me? Krishna said, sure. Just put your arm around my neck and I will lift you up and I'll carry you. So she put her arm around his neck and his neck was not there. He had disappeared from Radharani too. And the explanation which is given is that Krishna did this with the gopis and then with Radharani because they were feeling proud that, yes, we have Krishna. He's our Krishna, my Krishna. And, you know, I can utilize him. And Prabhupada makes the point. Let me just say, we should not think that the gopis, and particularly Radharani, and particularly the gopis too, that they just became proud like we do. It's something else. It's just something else. We shouldn't think that, yes, I get proud. And do you get proud sometimes? What's your name?
Mahesh.
Mahesh gets proud. And what's your name, Prabhu?
Ram,
Jai Shri Ram. Do you ever get proud? Did it ever happen to you? It did. Once. So Mahesh gets proud. Ram gets proud. I get proud. The gopis get proud. Radharani gets proud. We all get proud. Ah, life is like that. Well, it's not like that, actually. Of course, we do get proud, but with Radharani and the gopis, it's just sort of, they act as if they might be, just to help us understand a point, that's all. Just like Arjuna, even more so than Arjuna, but also just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he's a great eternal associate of the Lord. He doesn't get into Maya and wonder whether he should serve Krishna or maybe he should just do his own thing. It's just for educational purposes that he may present himself like that. And same with the gopis. But we were saying about Krishna tolerating or not tolerating. Prabhupada there says that Krishna can tolerate almost any fault in his devotees. If you're a bit stupid, a bit forgetful, a bit this or that, you eat too much, you sleep too much or something, you're dozing off while you're chanting your rounds, all these kind of fairly common things, Krishna can tolerate. But, Prabhupada says, Krishna cannot tolerate pride in his devotees. He doesn't tolerate it. And Prabhupada says that if a devotee becomes proud and sort of becomes determined to be proud, Prabhupada says Krishna changes his attitude towards the devotee and treats the devotee in such a way they give up their pride. Yeah. Means, you know, in America they say tough love. Tough love. It means, in this case, Krishna gives you a hard time. And you get a bit sort of smashed around, and then okay, all right. I'm a doofus. I'm a fool. And you give up your pride. It's Krishna's mercy. But then the second thing that Krishna doesn't tolerate, and he really doesn't tolerate, even more than pride, is if you offend his devotees. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Yeah. Then he won't just give you he may not just give you a bit of a wake-up call. He may kick you so hard that you become a bit broken. Yeah. yes, here we are. Krishna, then, we were saying, despite our lack of qualification and our, you know, oversupply of disqualification, it's like we have cornered the market of disqualification, if you follow what I mean by that. Yeah, we've got so many disqualifications, but Krishna is so kind. And because Krishna is so kind, then his great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, understanding Krishna's mood, they then reflect that mood. They reflect that mood. So therefore Srila Prabhupada, he came to the Western world, and it wasn't just the Western world, but he came to the Lower East Side of Manhattan, New York, which was the American East Coast headquarters of the hippie movement. And the hippies, they were, you know, frankly, they were bizarre. They were really bizarre. They were just too bizarre. And there's Srila Prabhupada, he's an elderly man from a highly cultured background. Such a cultured background. His whole life, just like an incredible gentleman. And now he's mixing with these mad people who think that we must take lots of drugs. We must. And we must have a lot of illicit sex. We must. All these things we must do. And we must maximize these things. In fact, that was really how they thought and what they did. And it's so opposed, such a sort of polaric opposite of the culture of Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada, because of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, his not just advancement but perfection in Krishna consciousness, he was able to reflect Krishna's love even for these people, and not just tolerate them but embrace them and help them and tolerate so much sort of mistreatment from them and just so much stupidity from them and help them despite everything to become devotees. So it's a reflection of Krishna's love. It's like causeless love. And Prabhupada is reflecting that, but it's also just a manifestation of his own heart that he's able not just to tolerate these weird people, but to embrace them and love them. So, yes, so there you go. There's, if you read the Lilamrita, the part where Prabhupada's just beginning in New York, there's one place. Prabhupada, he was doing programs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday evening. And in one such program, there's some young people there, and Prabhupada's giving his class, and there's one young lady under the influence of LSD, and she says, "When I have taken LSD and I chant Hare Krishna, I see red lights flashing in front of my eyes. What does it mean?" And Srila Prabhupada's answer was, "Do not worry. Keep chanting. It will go away." Yeah, he could have said, and it would have been true, "You are just totally out of it. Either keep quiet or go." Or there was a group, a musical group, I believe they may still exist, named the Fugs, F-U-G-S, the Fugs. And they were very popular amongst those people, and they were really degraded, my gosh. They were so degraded. And some of them came to a program of Prabhupada's in 22nd Avenue. And with some of their followers, there's a whole group of them. And Prabhupada just, he didn't know who they were, but just as it would happen by Krishna's arrangement, Prabhupada in the class spoke strongly against intoxication, particularly LSD, strongly, that this is bad, you shouldn't take it, it will set you back, all these types of ideas. And the one member of the Fugs put his hand up and said, "You are speaking so strongly against LSD, but have you tried it?" And Prabhupada said, "No." And this young musician man turned to his group of friends, he's like the hero, like, "Ha, just see, I caught him there, right? I just caught him out. He doesn't know what he's talking about." And they were all like, "Yeah, you got him good there." And then Prabhupada said that, "No, I have not tried it. But you do not need to eat stool to know that it tastes bad." It's just, you know, one classic of Prabhupada. Prabhupada's just full of classics. And that's a real classic. Another time, one young man, under the influence of LSD, because it was just, you know, the way people lived, he came up and just walked into Prabhupada's private flat, which was behind, there was an apartment building behind the storefront, which Prabhupada was using as a temple. And the little courtyard, and then you go into the block of flats, and Prabhupada was somewhere there in the block of flats, and this young man, under the influence of LSD, came walking in and said, "I am higher than you. I am God." And Prabhupada looked at him and said, "I offer my obeisances to you, God, but I am busy. Could you go, please?" And off he went. So Prabhupada, you know. Another boy came in. He was a sort of a temple resident, but he was not doing well at all. He walked in and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I need $10. Prabhupada was the treasurer, dealing with all the money. I need $10. Why? I want to pour it over myself and burn myself to death. Prabhupada said, $10, that is too much. $5 would be enough. And then he dissuaded him. Yeah, so Prabhupada, you know, to do that, these kind of stuffy swamis and people like that, they couldn't deal with this type of person at all. They're just too far gone. But Prabhupada, because he possessed that love and he was so close to Krishna, just reflecting the nature of Krishna and knowing what Krishna wanted, he was able to not just handle it without becoming frustrated, but to embrace the whole thing and turn so many of them into really nice devotees. This is Krishna consciousness. Sri Sri Nitai Mayapur Chandra King. Now we could just go on for a few hours just telling stories about Prabhupada, and which just show what a wonderful person Prabhupada was or is. I'll just tell you one more. This is in London. Prabhupada was being driven to a program, and in the car, there was a taxi, was Tribhuvanath Prabhu, very nice disciple of Srila Prabhupada, unfortunately passed away. So there they are, and they're driving through central London, well, the West End, what they call the West End, past Trafalgar Square, around Trafalgar Square, and down the road that goes straight to Buckingham Palace. So they're heading towards Buckingham Palace, it's just down the road. And one other devotee in the car said, Srila Prabhupada, one of the guards from Buckingham Palace has become a devotee. He's a very important man. One of these fellows, they wear the black hat, you know. The guards, they walk up and down. One of them, he's become a devotee. Yeah, he's a very important man. It's very good. Yes, very significant. And they're just sort of now turning in front of Buckingham Palace to go around it. And this boy saying, yeah, oh, it's very important. He's very, you know, significant person. Become a devotee. And Prabhupada said, and what about the Queen? Okay. Anyway. So here we are having our initiation ceremony. And you can see there are two devotees there. Jai Gaura Prabhu there on my right. And he actually received second initiation last year, wasn't it? Sort of in November, perhaps. Yeah. But don't ask me why he didn't sit on a fire sacrifice, because you have to do that to just kind of complete the whole thing. So he's just sitting in on the fire sacrifice. And otherwise, there is Bhaktin Karishma, well-known devotee, dear to all, isn't it? Yeah, sure. She's nice. She's really nice. We've known each other a while, and she writes these really nice letters. Oh, yeah. Really nice, soft-hearted devotee. She's receiving first initiation. Very good. Well, let's just very briefly say a couple of words about first initiation. Let's do a little time check. Okay. First initiation, the number of elements which make up the sort of the picture of first initiation. One is that and it's, you know, in a sense it's the most important, is that you receive the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra through the sanctified chanting beads. And I say it's a particular importance, arguably the most important, because the chanting of the holy names is the main process for Kali Yuga. Harir Naam Eva Kevalam means the chanting of the holy names. Eva means definitely, and Kevalam means the only. It's the only thing which will really help you, not just help you, but it is the only thing which is capable of taking you out of the material world back to Godhead in the Kali Yuga. Worshipping the deity without the chanting of the holy names, you won't make it. You won't make it. You'll take birth again. And who knows what will happen to you. And all the other things, fire sacrifice, silent meditation, without the chanting of the holy names, you won't make it. You won't make it. And you know, it's very interesting if you go to particularly Vrindavan town, or even the whole area, that there's so many devotees. There's just loads of devotees of different types. Really, of different types. And the majority of them, like, you know, classic example, those who are running the big temples, the main temples, Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radharaman, and so on, these are the main temples in Vrindavan, they don't chant very much. Some of them, well, of course I don't really know, but I don't see them chanting. I don't see them chanting. And when you meet them, many of them are kind of pleasant. They're nice, pleasant people. But in so many cases, you can see there's a contamination there, like serious contamination. They're really attached to getting your money. Oh boy. Oh boy. They're really attached to that. Yes. So, such attachments, even these people are devotees. They're definitely devotees. But they don't chant the holy names. Certainly they don't chant 16 rounds a day for absolutely sure. And maybe they actually don't even chant. I'm sure in many cases it's like that. And as a result, contaminations are there. Yeah. You know, did you hear Prabhupada said? Here's another little story. Prabhupada said that, well, one devotee, in the early days, the first group that went with Prabhupada to India, he went and visited one of those temples. And the people in that temple had been used to the, I don't want to sound sort of racist, but the American devotees, Hari Bol, who at least in those days, they were kind of loud and a bit rough. Yeah, bless their hearts. They were devotees. But for the local people who are usually very quiet and cultured in their own way, it was hard to digest the American devotees. But this devotee was very nice and quiet and respectful and peaceful and nice. And the pujari there noted this and came down and said, actually, you know, you're quite nice. You're actually quite nice. And he said, you know what? If you carry on like this, in your next life, you can worship the deity in this temple. And the devotee went back to where they were staying, and Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada asked him, where have you been? And he said, I went to that temple, and what happened? Well, and he told the story, this is what the man said, that if I carry on like this, being nice, in my next life, I can worship the deity in that temple. And Prabhupada said, and what did you say to him? And the devotee said, well, nothing. Prabhupada told him, you should have told him that if you carry on worshipping the deity like this nicely, in your next life, you can take birth in ISKCON. Yeah. So, here we are. Here we are. So, okay, there's the chanting of the holy names. In this regard, we emphasize avoiding the 10 offenses. Then there's the vows, 4 regulative principles, chant 16 rounds a day. And then there is receiving the new transcendental name. And actually, Karishma and I have discussed this. What name, you know, a couple of times now. And she sort of made a suggestion, and I have taken it, borne it in, you know, taken it into consideration, but come up with something slightly different. So yeah, and that's, the new name is generally the most exciting part of the whole thing. So we're coming to that shortly. But it's all part of developing the loving relationship with Krishna. It's such an important part to get connected up with Krishna through parampara. Prabhupada gave the example of an electrical line coming from the power station right into your room. And there you can just access the power of the station. So we access Krishna, so to speak, through the disciplic succession. And, oh, that helps so much. You know, just sort of do it yourself back to Godhead. Sure. Good luck. And even good luck won't help. One needs that connection. And if one takes the connection and really utilizes the connection, oh, it's so beneficial. And one can enter gradually, one's sort of character, one's eternal personality and nature, which of course includes one's capacity to love, will gradually manifest more and more, yes? And then you'll go back to Godhead. And when you've gone back to Godhead, then you enter into your eternal relationship with Krishna, face to face. And that's just the perfection of life. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, once you've gone there, you don't come back. Sometimes devotees have trouble with that idea. I came across a conversation at Prabhupada's some years ago in which a devotee asked, is it really that you don't come back? You don't come back here once you've gone there to Goloka Vrindavan? And Prabhupada's, as usual, very profound answer was, so far no one has come back. Yeah. That's got to be a good answer. But there it is just so amazing. And the pastimes of Krishna are just so amazing. I said last night I'd tell the story of a pastime. Do we have time or should we just carry on?
We should just carry on.
And next time. Next time. Okay, next time. All right, no problem. All right. And when you say carry on, you mean carry on without telling the story or carry on telling the story?
Without the story.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I wanted to clarify that. And then, of course, we have the second initiation, Jaigora Prabhu. means Brahminical initiation, that the authorities have seen that he's maintaining Brahminical standard, meaning an advanced, pure standard of Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, lists out the qualities of a Brahmin. Samadhanast paksho cham shantir archavanam eva cha gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma karma subhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmins work. And in other words, these are their natural qualities and characteristics. And when the senior devotees see that a first initiated devotee is showing these qualities and is very stable and reliable and mature in Krishna consciousness, then they may be given second initiation. So, okay, right now, shall I call her now? Right. And how do we do this? From this side? This side. Otherwise, she's going to have a back to the desert. Yeah, so just come around here, Karishma. Did you explain what she should do? Okay, just come around. Just come around. Offer obeisances. Chant pranam mantras audibly. Audibly, no, wait a minute, wait. Audibly means so we can hear. No, down. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Now, we don't have another mic, I suppose, do we? So, Bhaktin Krishna. Hare Krishna. Kim Cha. Sarache. Charya Kare. Okay. Please tell us loud and clear into the microphone, what are the four regulative principles you're vowing today to follow?
The four regulative principles that I vow to take is no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling.
Very good, thank you. And what is the minimum number of rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra you'll chant every day?
The minimum amount of rounds are 16.
Okay, thank you. You can give Prabhu back. So we discussed actually the possibility of a name connected with the term Kali. You know, normally, not always, but normally, I mean generally, devotees are given a name at the time of initiation which begins with the first letter of their previous name. So we discussed, there was mention of one name which includes Kali. Kali means pastimes. But then, you know, I thought about it. Actually, I already have a disciple, to be quite honest, who has that name. Yeah. And you know, generally, it's not essential, but generally we try to avoid duplications. So that I thought, I think of a nice name. It is, yeah, it means, it's a name of Srimati Radharani, and it means she who has very playful, like fun pastimes, just really blissful and jolly, happy pastimes. From today on, you will be known as Kali Lalita Devi Dasi. Kali Lalita Devi Dasi Ki.
Jai!
Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Kali Lalita. It can also be taken to mean the pastimes of Lalita Devi, actually. Hare Krishna. So please, everyone, I should have done this before. Please offer your blessings to Kali Lalita Devi Dasi and Jai Gaura Prabhu. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari
Bol!
Hari Bol!
You know, you guys, you're half asleep. You're hungry, aren't you? Let's do it one more time. Enthusiasm. I mean, let's get serious about this. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Thank you. So we hand over to Shyamananda Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You're allowed to reply. Let's try that again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a bit more lucky. I think Maharaj is right. Everyone went to sleep.
So there are some...